Go ahead and open to Acts, the 16th chapter. Acts chapter 16. When Mike asked me to talk tonight, I'd ask him like, exactly what should I focus on? Because here we're going to be talking about Paul and Silas in jail. And he had said, focus on their love for God through their suffering. So I entitled it, Love and Suffering. Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 16. We're going to start at verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to a prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So at first we see Paul and Silas are, from the way it sounds, they are walking through the city of Philippi. A woman that has a spirit starts following them and saying that they're basically bringing salvation. After a while, Paul tells the spirit in her to leave. The point I want to make is the love that Paul had for this woman's soul. The point that I want to make is that that love that he had for her led to their suffering. And then I want to also point out the other side. That the masters, as they're called, her masters, they had love as well that led to her suffering. So I have 3 points I want us to see tonight. Love leads to suffering, suffering leads to further suffering, and suffering leads to love. As we've already, as I've already talked about, is Paul's love. It makes me think automatically of the saying, love will make you do crazy things. And automatically, seeing as we just had rain, I think of a woman that is in labor. I mean, most times, a woman, you can say a woman is suffering when she is in labor. I know when Rachel was in labor with Rain, I mean, she was suffering. But love is what brought her to that point of suffering. And then what came after that suffering? After Rain was born, what happened? Rachel, any woman, even a man, forgets everything that had come before, all of that suffering, and looks down at that little bundle of joy, that little bundle of love. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, well, how does that have to do with Paul and Silas and in jail and their suffering? I'm about to bring it to that. Love leads to suffering. And I want to suggest that without suffering or without love, we wouldn't be able to understand suffering. To help make that more apparent, if you look at Romans chapter 7, throughout there, Paul makes the bold statement of saying that if there was no law, there would be no sin, because sin is transgression of the law. So I think if there was no love, there would be no suffering. Think of a hermit that lives out in the woods by himself. Does he suffer much? No, because he has no one that he loves. He takes care of himself. He has nothing that he is attached to that could cause him suffering, unlike Paul and Silas. So, going back to Acts 16, we see Paul's love, but first we see the love of the world. What do we see from the masters of the damsel? She's has this demon that's in her. Are they doing anything to help her, or are they gaining something from it? The girl was suffering, but they loved it because of their reward. And you can think of 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things in the world. What were they doing? Were they looking at the damsel and thinking, by what we're doing, she is suffering. She doesn't even have her own free will. She's being used. We're using her. Or did they only see their gain in it? Because when you think of it, the love of the world brings about suffering. You can think of those that have taken part in copious amounts of fornication, and they by doing that, they end up getting some kind of disease that is incurable. They have to live with that the rest of their life. They can't get rid of it. You can think of AIDS and what that's brought about. You can think of other things that have come from it. Children that are not wanted. Children that end up being aborted and causing the mother trauma. That one act of love brought about suffering not for one person, but for multiple people. The love of the world brings about suffering. In the same manner, the love of Christ leads to suffering. And that's why I say that love and suffering go hand in hand. The love of Christ leads to physical suffering. Look at what happened because of Paul's love for the damsel. Look at what came about because of the master's worldly love for the damsel. Paul loved her so much that he was willing to put himself through suffering by going to jail, by being put in stocks to save her soul. Does that happen to us? Are we willing to help someone out because of the love that we have for them to help them out and that it could come back and hurt us? Think of the missionaries in China. My mom was talking of, somewhere in Cameroon, that there is a missionary that in a village they're basically destroying homes. In China, they're cracking down on foreign Christianity, foreign missionaries. Why? And what is it causing on those missionaries? Does it ever happen to us? Well, of course it does. Going on top of that, suffering leads to further suffering. Go ahead and look at verse 22 of Acts 16. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. To understand this, in Greek times, a soldier or someone that was guarding a prison, if he fell asleep and a prisoner escaped, his life was put in place of that prisoner. He had to basically fall upon his sword for not doing his job. So, worldly love blinds you to suffering. Think of the masters again. Did they see the suffering that they were causing that woman by using the demon that was in her? Or did they only see the gain that they were getting from it? Think of the magistrates. Could the magistrates see the lies of the masters only? Or did they actually, when they looked at Paul and look what they had done for the young woman, did they see the salvation of a mistreated soul? The Philippian jailer could only see his ultimate death, not that salvation would come to those of his house who needed it. He looked at the outlook, he looked at himself, and instead of seeing what could happen, he saw what most likely would happen. But luckily, Paul spoke to him and Paul stopped him before he could do himself harm. The world blinds you to suffering. However, Christ's love opens your eyes to suffering. If you go back, you see that we are told that Paul was grieved by the condition of the damsel. He saw the suffering that she was under. He saw what was happening to her. He wasn't blind to it by seeing the worldly gain that they were getting. He saw it for what it truly was, suffering. He saw her suffering, and his love for Christ outweighed the thought of his own suffering. He saw the suffering of the jailer. He saw the jailer planning to kill himself, and what did he do? Did he say, well, you know what, good riddance, we got thrown in here, we're actually Romans, we got thrown in here, we got beat unjustly? No, he saw what he was about to do, and he told him, hey, stop, wait, we're all here. He saw the suffering of the jailer and gave him hope in the love of Christ. Go ahead and read it, verse 28 now. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his house straightway. And when he had brought them unto his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Again, Paul stopping this man became so joyous because of the new life he had been given that he again went against what he was supposed to do. A jailer taking a prisoner from their cell was against a Roman rule. So he could have been killed there too. But he was so excited because they had stopped him and they had given him hope because of the love of Christ. Suffering leads to love. In time, worldly love will turn its adherence to the love of Christ. And it might be to the unperverted love of Christ. Unfortunately, some will accept the love of Christ, the true love of Christ that comes from the Church of Christ. Others, they will accept a perverted version of it, which does them no good. For a time, some will accept it. Some will never accept it and will die to find that they can suffer more greatly than they already had. And it makes me think of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, where Paul told those to rest. And then he had said that there would be some that Christ would come back in flaming fire, bringing upon those who knew not God and obeyed not his gospel. Some will accept a perversion of Christ's love that leads to the same end, to eternal suffering. Some will accept, Christ's love will lead us out of suffering. And that's out of the physical suffering that we're in now to a better place because we have accepted the better promises and the better covenant. You can think of the lame man whose friends lowered him to Christ, as we talked about in VBS. Because of their love, his physical suffering was ended. You can think of Martha and Mary. They received Lazarus back. Lazarus's physical suffering had ended, but Christ ended the suffering of his sisters by bringing him back to them. You can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. They were worried about those that had died before Christ had come back. They didn't know what was going to happen to them. And Paul tells them that those that had died before Christ would not be stopped from being brought back at the end times. And Paul tells the Thessalonian brethren there, comfort one another with these words. Love one another with these words. End each other's suffering with these words. Just like the Thessalonians who feared for their brethren who passed on before Christ returned, their suffering was ended by the love of Christ that is the promise of his return. Again, I want to say, I suggest that love cannot exist without suffering. Because if you even look at the book of Revelation, we're told that God would wipe away all tears. If you're crying, obviously there was some suffering, but that suffering has ended. Whether it was for a loved one that was not saved, whether it was for some malady that someone had, or someone that you couldn't get to. Once we go to heaven, all suffering will end, and it will be eternal bliss. Both kinds of love, earthly and spiritual, will lead to some amount of suffering. Some that will end when our tabernacle dies, the tabernacle being our body. Some will go on for eternity. Which one would you rather have? A little suffering physically or an eternal suffering? But that suffering will lead to more or less suffering depending on whom we lean on, like Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas chose to love Christ, even though they were, as we talked about, walking through the valley of shadow and death. They decided to take the comfort of Christ. Who do you want to choose to comfort you tonight? The world of now, earthly, worldly love, or the love of Christ? If you're here tonight and you have not been baptized, you have not taken on Christ, you are living in, you're looking at that worldly love. You're doing what seems nice. You're doing what seems easiest for you at the time. But you can choose to take up Christ's love. You can choose to have love that will end the physical suffering, but will lead to eternal joy. If you've been baptized and you've fallen away, you can take that back up once more. You can still end that physical suffering. You can still stay away from eternal suffering by coming back to Christ, by going down that shadow and going through that valley, but still holding to Him, knowing that He will comfort you, knowing that all things will end out for good. If you're here tonight and you need anything, we would love for you to come and let us help you as we stand and sing.